You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Dr. Carissa Shodan of Auckland University's Sociology Department is the editor of a new book on youth activism entitled Fierce Hope. The book has six segments from various youth-led activism organizations, ranging in topic from climate change to indigenous rights. In the book, young leaders of activism groups, loosely identified as those 18 to 29, are given the space to write about their journeys in the world of activism. I started by asking for an overview of the topics covered within the book.
Yes, so for the book, we spent a couple of years interviewing and doing participant observations, so going to meetings and events with six different youth-led activist groups across the country. So we were working with groups like Just Speak and Protect Izamatel, Thursdays in Black, Generation Zero, Inside Out, and Action Station. And so the book looks at each of those groups individually, kind of the campaigns that they worked on, things, big successes they had, some of the obstacles that they faced and how they confronted them. But we also think about what we learned about activism and young people's approach to activism and feelings about activism and feelings about the future, thinking about that collectively in the later chapters of the book. We try to draw some common themes together as well.
You worked with six groups in the book. Which groups did some of the most poignant writing come from?
Well, obviously when we were working with Protect Izamatel, and you know, our work with them happened to overlap with the police coming onto the land and then the sort of police being there for a long time. So the resonance is there, the emotions were very strong, and sort of seeing also just the love that was exhibited among the participants. And you know, a lot of what we saw with Protect Izamatel led to, I hope, comes out through the writing. I hope that they will see through the writing themselves reflected, their own sort of peaceful and approach to activism represented in that chapter. Other groups also, you know, are facing really significant and long-standing problems. You know, Generation Zero is looking at climate change. You've got Just Speak looking at the long-standing problems of over-incarceration of certain groups of people and sort of the problems in the justice system.
Youth activists are increasingly interested in Tino Rangatiratanga and other Maori sovereignty movements. What role does youth activism have in supporting Indigenous rights?
All of the groups that we worked with and who agreed to work with us emphasize the importance of Indigenous rights, regardless of what primary campaign they happened to be working on at the time that we interviewed them. So whether they were working against sexual violence or working with queer rights, they emphasize the importance of Indigenous rights and Tino Rangatiratanga as central to doing activism in this space at this time, and that you can't separate out issues of Indigenous sovereignty from all the other kinds of big, long timescale problems that these groups are facing. So youth activists have as much responsibility and opportunity as everybody else, regardless of age, to address these issues. But I think it's fair to say that young activists are particularly aware of the need to think intersectionally about how they do and think about activism.
What other advantages do youth-led groups have over older, more traditional activism groups?
I think one thing that, you know, I wouldn't want to pit older activists against younger activists, and I think one of the things that came out in our study is that they don't either, that in being young or being at a particular moment in time, it gives you a certain sense of how much time you have to devote to activism for some of our young people. That's not true of everybody, obviously, but not as many of them had, say, family obligations or, you know, full-time work obligations. Many did, but not all of them did, and that offered them more opportunities to engage in activism. I think there was a sense of energy and a desire to work across issues that really came through in the study.
What responsibility does your average youth have to engage in activism?
I think the folks that we talked to had a strong sense that everybody has some responsibility as a citizen of this country, or just as a human being on Earth, to try to leave this place a little bit better than we found it. And so everybody has a role to play, and not everybody can do that at the same time, and not everybody can do that in the same way, and different people have different resources. But there was a strong sense that came through that was, whatever you can do, and that might be a very small amount at some points in time or much more at other times, but whatever you can do in any particular moment, we have a kind of community obligation to do.
You mentioned in the press release some of the hopefulness of the COVID times didn't eventuate. What are some aspects related to youth activism that have eventuated?
One of the things that happened, we saw Generation Zero, for example, had great success with the Zero Carbon Act. That took a lot of work over many years with multiple different groups working in and with communities to get that across the line. And certainly what we've witnessed over the last few weeks in terms of the cyclones and other weather events just kind of brings home the urgency of working on climate change. I think that's kind of a one example of something that was a big success and is certainly something we're going to have to build on going forward.
That was Dr. Carissa Shoden speaking on youth activism in New Zealand.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.